I cheated a while ago and looked on my phone and greeted everyone watching online. And I can't help but to mention my mom is watching this evening online, so I will have to behave myself. I'll have to be nice. And, you know, you think about technology today, and I moved away from Haywood County 20 years ago in 03. And part of the blessing of technology is exactly what's happening right now. My mom can sit in her living room and she can be a part of this church service as well as others that's on there tonight. We've got several that's there listening this evening. But yet, that's no excuse for not coming to God's house. I don't ever want to say the computer will replace God's house if you're able to come and able to be a part. Amen. I did want to mention too, Shane mentioned this, Brother Welburn's family, remember him, his mom and his dad, and remember him and Melissa, his wife. Brother James is the only child, and he's got a sick mama and a sick daddy, both of them at the same time, and they've been in the hospital. She's been in the hospital about 2 weeks, and Brother James has been back and forth, and I know that's taking a toll on him. I can see it in conversations that he and I have, and he just needs our prayers this evening. So before I even read this scripture text, I'm going to ask you to pray over me tonight. I can't do anything without him, and certainly I need his touch as we open this service tonight and as I preach the gospel. Amen. So stretch your hand this way and pray for me this evening. Father, I do love you tonight, and I do come before your throne tonight, God, knowing, God, that without you, we cannot do anything at all. Father, I pray, God, that even now that you, Holy Spirit, would take control. I pray, God, that you'd take control of the services this evening. I pray, God, that the words that we would speak, God, that they would speak to the hearts of the people of God this evening. I pray, God, that you'd touch us, and God, that you'd help us. That, God, that you, O Holy Spirit, would bless and minister in this room tonight. God, gird up the loins of my mind, touch my mind tonight, God, that I would think clearly and I would speak clearly, God, the word of the living God. Speak to my heart tonight, oh God. I pray that you just touch us and help us in all that we endeavor to do, God, that you get the glory and the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. If you have your Bible with you, I pray that you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to read that. And this, of course, was one of Paul's writings to the church there at Corinth. And I'm going to take my jacket off. Brenda's cold and I'm sweating. Do you want my jacket? So anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And this is going to be quite a bit of reading. But yet, when I was reading this and studying this, it really didn't make a lot of sense just to read a part of the text that was here. So somebody says, well, don't take scripture out of context. And I'm saying, well, I'm going to try to put it in context is what I'm going to try to do in what we're trying to read here this evening. Before I get started this evening, let me ask you a question. And Lethe, thank you so much for sending me that voice thing. That was awesome. I've got it upstairs saved, and they're going to share it, maybe even Sunday if we have time. And thank you so much for that. But I want to talk to you this evening about something that I believe that is necessary, and I think it's something that we oftentimes overlook. So a day or so ago, the Lord laid this thought on my heart about the precious promises of God. And God's got a lot of promises. They tell me that there's as many as 365 promises in the Bible. Now, I didn't thumb through the Bible today and count those, but I'm just taking that at face value. And the reason being is that there's a promise for every day. So I want to talk to you this evening about precious promises. And Paul takes this and he opens it up here in the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle means sent, of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7. He says this, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall be also of the consolation. And the word consolation, it talks about that word, the also of the comfort of the Lord. In verse number 8, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than what we read and acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Verse 15, and in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit, to pass by you in Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought by way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now, I know that's a lot of reading. Hang on. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, and that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Verse 2 and the next few verses down through verse 4. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, Who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? Verse 3, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Now I know there is no way you're going to remember all that. And there is no way that I can get all that put into a capsule for you this evening, other than to say these words. When Paul began to write these scriptures, Paul was writing about the trouble that he had suffered. He was also writing about the trouble of the local church, that through their tribulation that Paul was writing this, a couple of different verses that Paul actually was writing this to encourage them. When you begin to look in verse number 3, he begins to write this about the God of comfort. Aren't you glad that God is a God of comfort? He says this in verse number 3. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He talks about this word comfort in several different places all the way down through this scripture. Now, when you look at that word comfort in the Greek, it's the same word as the Holy Ghost, that God would send us another comforter. When you look at that word comforter, it was Paul that was saying to these people here that God was going to be the God of all comfort. That even in the midst of the troubles that they were suffering, Paul even said later in chapter number 2, at that verse number 1, Paul said, I determined that when I came to you, I'm not going to come to you and wear you out with all the troubles that I've been through. I'm not even going to tell you everything that I've been through, because we read in the scripture, we read in how that Paul suffered all the troubles that he suffered. And there's different various of scriptures that I've even looked back to, and how that Paul suffered shipwreck and Paul was beaten, and how that his own countrymen done him the way that he done him. And how that Paul faced all kinds of evil and all kinds of opposition along the way. Everybody in this room, watch this. Everybody in this room, at some point in your life, fasten your seatbelt. This is going to be a big one. You might as well get ready. And at some point in your life, you're going to face opposition. Somewhere in your life, you're going to face trouble. Everybody that you and I come in contact with, they're not really, really happy about the fact that you're a Christian. They're not really happy about the fact that you're serving a living God. Paul suffered much trouble along his journey. But yet Paul, he turned this whole thing to the point that he was wanting to talk about the goodness of God, the mercies of God. You and I, we can sit around and talk about our troubles all day long. We can start talking to other people. They may be up in cloud 9, but if you've got a belly or a gut full of troubles, if you begin to unload those troubles on somebody else, before long, you're going to bring them down. You're going to discourage them. You're going to trouble them. And before long, both of you are going to be sour. Both of you are going to be in trouble. But yet when you and I begin to change our thinking, and a lot of times we have to gird up the loins of our mind. We have to do what the Bible says, that we have to bring every thought into captivity and line those thoughts up with God's Word. What does God say about me? What does God say about me being who I am? What does God say about the Christian? Paul was saying as he began to walk through this, and he began to say this in verses number 3, in verses number 4, he says in verse number 3 that God is the God of all comfort. Look at this. He says in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in trouble. What does that mean? God says that Paul was saying that God has brought me comfort through all my troubles, through all of my anguish. Paul was reflecting upon the promises of God, that all the promises of God are yea and amen. Paul was saying everything that God ever said in His Word to me and about me and for me is the truth. And everything that God has ever said about you and I, all the words of God's Bible, 66 books, 1,500 years, 47 different authors. I don't have it memorized down to how many letters and how many verses and how many chapters and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You and I can bank on it today. We can take the Word of the living God and we can know that God is for us and God is not against us. And I want you to get a hold of that this evening, that God is for you. And Paul was saying this. In this verse, he says, "For comforteth who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Anybody in the room ever went through a trial? You ever went through a storm? You ever went through a battle? What are you saying? I'm saying that God brought you through that storm. God brought you through that tribulation. God brought you through the situation that He brought you through, as Paul said, that I might be able, or we might be able, to be a comfort to somebody else. You may not be going through it right now. You may be on cloud nine, but friend of mine, before long, you may be the one going through the trouble. I might be on cloud nine. So what Paul was saying, that it is my job to keep my focus on Him and comfort you when you're down. That's what he says there in that scripture. And then he says, "Wherein we ourselves are comforted." In other words, he says both of us would be comforted together. All of us, even today in this room, we all desire comfort of some. I'm not talking about creature comfort. I'm talking about the paraclete. I'm talking about the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the comfort of God, knowing that God is for me and not against me. Just like that song that Shane sung, that God is not against me, no matter how many mistakes I've made, how many failures I've made. Even tonight, believe it or not, God loves sinners. That's not in my text or my notes nowhere, but we think about how horrible sinners are. Hey, guess what? God died for sinners. Jesus died for sinners, and He gave His life for sinners. But my friend, we think about this. We think about this scripture. We think about how that all of us in this room today, we need an encouragement during difficult seasons of our lives. And for this, we have the Word of God. When you look through this, again, Paul was saying these words to the people there at Corinth. He says in verse number 7, he uses this word. He said, "For our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also ye shall also be of consolation." One version actually says it like this, that our hope for you is firmly grounded. Our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. In other words, Paul is saying, as much as we are grieved, we're also going to be comforted together. Verse 8, he uses the word again. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble in Asia." You can actually look that up in the scripture there over in the book of Acts, and you can read about that. He says that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we were in despair for our lives. Paul says, my situation was so dire. My situation was so bad. He said that I really literally thought that I was going to die upon that occasion. Look in verse number 9. "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves." You know that. I know that in our flesh, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. He said, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. When we think about this, we think about how that Paul was simply saying, oh yeah, we were all doomed to death. We were all doomed to a sentence of death. But whether I live or whether I die, it's all done to the glory of God, and it's all for His praise and for Him alone. When we think about the word promise, we think about what the Word of God says, and we think about what the word promise actually means. We look at promise, and we look at actually the Strong's Concordance gives a big, long outline about promise and a lot of different stuff about that. But it's basically a promise is something given that one is able to deliver. We think about it's our word. And I was going to ask this question, and I really didn't want to get it stirred up too much, but anybody in the room ever had somebody make you a promise and then they didn't come through with the promise that they really told you that they were going to come through with, and really how you failed on the inside, and really it's a big letdown, right? I mean, it's disappointing, it's discouragement, and it's without hope, and it's kind of despair. And when Paul was writing this, Paul was saying, hey, you might be in despair right now. You might be in affliction right now. But Paul turned this thing around, and Paul began to tell them, hey, we serve a God that's made us a promise. And I'm telling you, as sure as God has made you a promise, that God is able to deliver upon every promise that He has ever made you and I. I thought about the word promise throughout the Scripture, and as I was thinking about this over the last several days and putting it to paper, I thought about the greatest promise that you and I could probably think about in the Old Testament. Now, I know there was a lot of them. I know if you look at Abraham, and again, there's a lot of Scripture concerning Abraham, and I don't have time to go there and read all the Scriptures that is in reference to Abraham, and there's a lot of them there. But I thought about this man by the name of Noah. You know Noah over in the book of Genesis. We see that there in verse number 9 and verse 13 through 17. We see it there. We see where Noah was there, and we can see that when God was talking to Noah, and he had been there, and how the ark was there and all the animals, and how he sent the dove out. The dove never came back. And I'm paraphrasing all this, and how that when he put the bow into the sky, I thought about that bow today, and I told Sherry on the way over to the church, I said, I sure do want to see a rainbow today. It was raining here, and I never did see one. I thought, but that promise is still there today. And you can read it there in Genesis chapter 9. We can turn there really fast. Genesis 9, and you can look in the Scripture, if I wrote it down right, and I hope I did. I might have wrote it down wrong. But and I'm prone to do that from time to time. But we can see this in verse 13. He says, I do set my bow in the clouds, for it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. Look in verse 14. He says, and it shall come to pass when I bring the clouds over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Watch this. That I will remember my covenant. I will remember that it is signed, which is between me and you and every living creature. He says, and the waters shall be no more. And he talks about this, and he says that I will not destroy any flesh anymore by a flood. Verse 15. Verse 16, and he says, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon him, and I will remember. God says, I will remember my everlasting covenant, my promise between God and every living creature upon all the earth that is upon the earth. All the flesh is upon the earth. And we see that, and it's that promise that God has made. And I know that there are those today that want to take the rainbow and they want to mess up the rainbow, but my friend, God sealed his promise with the rainbow in the sky. Commentary said it like this: in the midst of a devastation from the flood of judgment, there was a beautiful rainbow in the sky symbolizing God's gracious promise. God did not promise we will never never experience a storm or storms, but He has promised that He will be with us during every one of them. I don't know how that makes you feel this evening, but my friend, the promises of God, the Scripture teaches us in this, in verse number 20 of our text, for all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying this. You may be here tonight and you might be wondering where God is. You might be wondering if God's in your neighborhood. You might be wondering this evening if God hears your prayers. May I submit unto you this evening, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. And the things that God said yesterday, are you awake tonight? The things that God said yesterday is the same thing that God says to you and I even today. That God cannot forget us. We are the creature. We are the created beings of God Himself. And Jesus even reminded us of that. Can a mother hen forget her children? Can we even forget the babe that sucks at the breast? Oh no, we have that promise this evening. We think about the Scripture in several places. We think about the promises of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to let Brother Scott talk about that mostly on Sunday. But we think about the Holy Ghost as the seal of promise when Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus went there, and we read several Scriptures, and again, this is more Scripture than I can take the time to read this evening, but I wanted to mention a few of them this evening, if I can find it. I got to find it myself. Over in the book of Galatians, because I got to read part of it. Kathy can show you part of it, but I got to read part of it too to be able to keep up. So we see this in Galatians chapter number 3. Look here in the Scripture, verse number 13. This is what we see in the Scripture. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth upon the tree. Now this is the Scripture. It goes all the way through verse 29. I'm not going to take the time to read that. But this is the promise, verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You can read all the way down through here in verse number 22. It says, but the Scripture hath concluded that all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Oh yes, Abraham was made a promise. And it talks about Abraham in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and it gives all the outline of everything that God promised Abraham, even right here. And Abraham, the seed, and all the promises of the children of Israel, even to the Jews today. But yet, my friend, when we went from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we become the Gentile, the ones that was grafted in, hallelujah, we read this in the Scripture, in this verse, and he says, by the Scripture hath concluded, all are under sin. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto all of them that believe. What does that mean? It simply means that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That God is no respecter of persons. And my friend, you and I, because of the promises of God, that you and I have a home in heaven today simply because of the promises of Jesus. I don't know if this is making any sense tonight. I don't know if it's making any sense. But we ought to be shouting happy right now. We absolutely take God and His Word for granted so much. We do. God don't owe me anything. God done it out of His grace. God done it out of His love. God done it out of His mercy. And my friend, you and I today, even though we got a few hiccups along the way, we ought to be shouting happy. We ought to be so glad. We ought to have so much joy. Oh, you're going to go through hell on this earth. Excuse me for saying it that way. You're going to go through things on this earth. Paul said, I didn't come to you in all of my trouble. He said that. He said, I determined, you can see that in chapter 2 and verse 1. I determined this one thing. He said, with all within myself, that I would not come unto you again with heaviness. Paul said, I'm not going to come to you no more with all this weariness. I'm not going to come with all this stuff. And let me say it like this. That's going to bog you down. Paul said, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to talk about the promises of God. If there's anything in the day and the hour that we're living in, and I know that church is different now, and I know that COVID this and COVID that, and I'm not trying to make any light of that situation at all. I'm not trying to. But my friend, the promises of God are yea and amen. And I'm just going to tell you, we're not going to stay on this earth forever. I mean, we're not going to, as much as the promises of God are for you and I to be born again, there's also a promise of God to the unbeliever. Hello. The Bible said it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I thought about this as I was trying to conclude my thinking on this message today, that as much as there are promises to the children of God, there's also promises to those that will not be saved and will not turn their heart over to God. And it's like the rich man that was there with Lazarus, and he said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's a promise from God. But the goodness is that God has allowed men everywhere to repent. God has given you and I the opportunity today. Today's the day of salvation. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I thought about this, trying to move around a little bit in this message. I thought about how that as much as God restored the earth after the flood, and I didn't write it down, but I was just going to mention it to you. It's over in 1 Peter. I believe it is 1 Peter. Do you know that there is a promise of this earth on this earth? Do you know that the Bible says that this earth, listen to me, that this earth is on a collision course right now to destruction? Are y'all aware of that? That this whole earth is going to be renovated by fire. How many of you know the Bible says that? It's going to be renovated by fire. 1 Peter, I think it's in 1 Peter that talks about that. That this, the elements are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. Somebody says, is that atomic or nuclear? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not Peter. I'm not the one that wrote it. But there's stuff out there right now. We worry about Ukraine. We worry about Russia. We worry about China. We worry about Taiwan. We worry about this and we worry about that. When we over, hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not going to worry about it. I can worry myself sick about it and pull every hair I got in my head out, shave my face and pluck the beard out of my mustache and go to bed in pain. And it's not going to help me. So why don't we glean the promises of God? Brother Russell, we know it's going to happen. Amen. I'm not going to go back and beat my head against the wall because the rapture is going to take place. Right. It's going to happen. Right. Just be ready. Right. Hello? Amen. Just be ready because it's going to happen. Somebody says, oh my God, what about the Antichrist? What about him? Yeah. What about the beast? What about the false prophet? They're all going to hell. Right. Sorry to be so plain, but that's what, they're going into the lake of fire. That's not my fight. That's not my battle. I need to enjoy God's promises. Amen. The old preacher said, Brother Russell, we need to get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Amen. We need to get back to the place that we can enjoy the pleasure of God. I mean, the whole world is in fear right now. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Worried about this. Worried about if gas goes to $10, what can you do about it? I can't do about it. I can get a bicycle or a mule. I mean, you know, I got a yard big enough to put a mule in. Get Brother Steve. Get the three Steves to come and help me fence my yard and put a mule in it. Just kidding. But my point this evening is simply this, that we worry ourselves sick and we totally bypass God and His promises. I just need to learn how to relax and enjoy Him. The Holy Ghost, when you look through the Scripture, and there's so much in this, the Holy Ghost was given as a promise. When you look in Luke 24 and 49, you know the scripture as well as me. And it talks about this in the scripture of how the Bible says, and Jesus took these guys out there and he breathed on them. And he told them to receive ye the Holy Ghost. But in Luke 24, we see this in the scripture. And I'll turn it really fast. And this is what he says in verse 49. You know it as well as me. He says, and behold, I send the promise. The Holy Ghost is called the promise. Well, when you look in our scripture text this evening, we see where that the Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. You remember in the book of Revelation, and Brother Terry, he'll know this, and this word is capitalized in my Bible, and it says, thus saith the Amen. This is capitalized here in 2 Corinthians, and it says, all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and him, amen. All the promises that God's ever made, you and I, through Jesus, are amen. The Holy Ghost, when they receive the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, comes from the scripture that the Amen said in Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. Promise is comfort, comforter. He tells us in John 15 there, or 16, he says, behold, I send the comforter. It's that same word. And it actually means promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We see that as we look into the book of Acts. You can look at this in chapter number 2, and you can see the promise of the Holy Ghost was poured out, you know the scripture, on the day of Pentecost. That's why we today know the promises of God are yea and amen, because he said, behold, I send the promise upon you. If you and I were still in limbo today about the promise of the Holy Ghost, we could scratch our head and wonder if the promises of God were true. But my friend, because we have the scripture in front of us that the day of Pentecost took place, Jesus again, he said this in the word, I send a promise upon you. And you look in Acts 2 and 38, he says, and Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he's a gift. And you look in verse 39, for the promise is unto you. For the promise is unto you. Oh, Kyle Taylor used to sing that song at camp meeting years ago. There's a promise coming down that dusty road. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but my friend, I wish that you would just reach out and get a hold of a promise of God this evening and refuse to let it go, because that song said, and it's for you and you and you, it's for all of you. All the promises of God are yea and amen. We are heirs and joint heirs, and we are sons and daughters of the King. And my friend, we are the recipients of the Holy Ghost, because he said again in the word, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. From the cross, Jesus cried. When he cried from the cross, he cried, it is finished. I thought everything that God ever set out to do for his church is done. For you and I this evening, we see that it's called precious promises. You can see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. And it says these very words, and he uses that because, and again, I could go through all the Bible. We could go through all the Psalms, and we could pick out all kinds of scripture. And we could stay here all evening reading scripture to one another about the promises of God. 2 Peter says it like this. Chapter 1, verse number 4. He says in a word, whereby are given unto us exceeding. Anybody in the room ever been blessed of God? Exceeding overabundant. Overabundant. Paul said, the tribulations and the troubles and all the things, he said, all that I can do now, even in the midst of all the consolation, is to say this to you, that the God of all comfort and the God of God's got mercy. And Peter writes it like this. He said, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What is that? What is that great and exceeding and precious promises? I thought about that in light of the scripture, in light of the fact that when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus cried, it is finished. When you and I become the recipients, or you and I were given the opportunity to be born again, children of God, oh, where would I be today if it wasn't for the promises of God? God don't change His promises because of your pedigree, your name, where you were, what street you grew up on, or where you grew up, or what color your skin is, or what color your skin's not. But all the precious promises of God are to you and I this evening. I could go through the scripture and I could take you to the Word of God, and God went to prepare a place for you, and I could go through every bit of that. But the next time you begin to get in the dumps and in the mully grubs and here and yonder and not even loving yourself, you know, suicide is so rapid today, young people today, and how the young people today, it seems as if they have no hope. That's why we need to tell them about Jesus and let them know that they are precious in God's sight. They're wonderfully made today. That God don't make no junk. That God don't make no mistake. That God has promised every man, woman, boy, and girl that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. Every sinner today, and I wrote this down, they may be somebody by chance get a hold of this message. And I don't know that, but I tell you, every sinner today, you need to repent and give your heart to God, because the Bible gives us a promise again, except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. And then we understand that God is not a God that God should lie. Numbers 23 and 19, He was talking over Israel and He promised Israel. He said, hey, God is not a God that God will lie. All the promises of God, Paul said, are yea and amen. Peter said they're great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of a divine nature. Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's something going on the inside of me. The devil is a liar. I don't belong to the devil. The devil gets in proximity of me. Guess what? He's a trespasser. Hey man, the Bible lets us know when we think about it. He's a trespasser. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. When the devil plots an evil task against me and my vessel, hey, he's a trespasser. Tell him to go away. The Bible teaches us in the scripture, neither give place to the devil. Rebuke the devil. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Rebuke the devil. He'll flee. Will he come back? I promise you he'll come back. He only left Jesus for a season and he come back. He'll come back and he'll come back and he'll come back. But we need to continue on with the word, and we just need to kick the devil out and tell him, hey, I'm a child of God. I may not look like one today. I may not feel like one today. I'm no prettier than I was yesterday when I looked in the mirror. But bless God, I'm still a child of God. I'm almost done. Promises. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not, I like this one. God is not wishy-washy. That's the only word I can come up with. God's not looking over heaven this evening and wondering, what in the world am I going to do? The Bible said His word is already established. Heaven and earth is established. God knows the end from the beginning. Look in James chapter 1, then I'm done. Promises. Don't make a promise you can't deliver. Raymond and I was talking today. I was telling him I had a task in front of me over the next few days. I said, everything works out. He said, well, I always tell people, Lord willing, and nothing happens. And I understand that. See, God has already confirmed in His Word who He is. I don't have to wonder in the morning if the moon's going to shine tonight. I don't have to worry about tonight if the sun's coming up in the morning. Hello? He already commanded that in the Scripture. The brighter of the light by day and the duller one or the dimmer one by night. It's already written in His Word. I don't go out on my front porch at night and just, I'm going to use that word again. And I'm sorry I'm using that word and that I'm describing it this way. I don't have to beat my head against the door mantle, my door mantle, and wonder if the moon's coming up. Why? Because it's a promise from God's Word. If we would just take the simple little nuggets of God's Word and remember them, that it's God's Word, it's His promises. James, when you look in James chapter number 1, and I'm going to wrap it up here. When you look in verse number 12, he says this. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Endureth, which means what? To undergo. When he is tried and he's faithful, he's going to receive the crown of life. Now look at this. Which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Friend, it's a promise. If you love him, are you going to be able to escape the trial and the temptation and all? No. I've told people before, well, I'm going to say it. I've told Brother Steve here, just keep on loving him. That's all I know to do, Brother Steve. Just keep on loving him. I don't have all the answers to all of life's problems. But all I can do, Brother West, is keep loving him. Because his promises are true. His promises are yea and amen. Somebody says, well, what are the promises of God? Whew. Take me a long time to read all of that and go back and search it out and put it in an outline form and deliver it to you. But if you take the Word of God and you just start reading God's Word, it's filled with the promises. You say, well, you can't take it out of context and what he was saying to the Jews or what he was saying to this one, what he was saying to that one. But my friend, you know enough about the New Testament to take the New Testament and read the New Testament. And these writers were inspired of the Holy Ghost, that all Scripture is given by God. And my friend, these are precious promises that was written to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You don't have to just be a Gentile, or you don't have to be just for Corinth or Macedonia or Asia or Judea or all. No, these are promises of God. Let me hurry. He says these are those promises to them that love Him. Do you love Him tonight? I don't mean to take so long when I preach. Let no man say that when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil. Neither tempteth he any man. That's self-explanatory. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Look in verse 15. He says, then, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and with sin, it finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't get tangled up in the sin thing. Don't get tangled up in all that. Don't say, you done evil and then blame it on God. Well, God made me. No, you. God didn't. You did it. And then he flips it and he says there in verse 17, he says, but every, look at this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now look at this. With whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 17, the key verse there is that in God there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. God's a constant and he's consistent. And what God said 2,000 years ago, you and I can still cling to today. Now, I don't know who this message was for. I didn't try to figure that part out. God didn't tell me that part. I just felt like God said, preach on precious promises. And maybe today you've struggled with trying to get a hold of one promise. We sing that little chorus, and I sing it very often. It just simply says, God is so good. You know, if we can just think about the goodness of God and the mercy of God, think about how God has protected you and how God's kept you all along the journey. God's been good, ain't he? How many of you enjoy the promises of God? We all do. Hey, there's some promises for us in the future. We've not gotten there yet. Go read the book of John 14. Go read the book of Revelation. It's full of it. There's still a promise for every believer here right now that we've not yet tapped into. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we love you tonight. We praise and honor you tonight. We thank you for thy word. Thy word is truth. And God, we thank you because of who you are, that you have made us your own. And we thank you, God. We thank you that, God, when we get into moments like this and we hear the word of the living God, that, God, that it sets our sights on you again. And God, it's exciting to see the word of God is true. And Paul was saying, hey, I'm not going to come to you with all the other stuff I've come to you about in the past. I'm just going to talk about the comfort of God, the mercy of God. And Paul says, I'm going to talk to you about the promises of God. They're all yea and amen. And Paul was encouraging those that was there, that was hearing him at that time. Father, I pray for this congregation that, God, that we too would look at the promises of God as yea and amen. And God, we would stand in it. When you've all done to stand, stand ye therefore. Let us stand ye therefore. And God, we ask you to touch this people that hear me tonight. Touch me and Sherry. Touch us and help us to be your people. And God, in all that we are going to do, we're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. And we thank you for all your blessings upon us. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. I hope that this was encouraging to you. Take it home with you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. God bless you.